If getting locked in a room with a group of friends and having to use science to figure your way out sounds like your idea of a good time, then an escape room might be just the thing for you. In Central Illinois, there's a new venue for doing just that. It's called Lab Escape. It's located in Urbana at the Lincoln Square Mall. They had their grand opening last weekend. Our producer, Christine Herman, tagged along with a group of five students from the Society of Women Engineers at the University of Illinois and brought us back this postcard of how their day went.
It's like playing a board game, but being physically in the space and physically immersed in the puzzles and the teamwork aspect of it.
It's like the game of Clue.
Yeah.
My name is Cece, and I'm a third-year graduate student in electrical engineering. I work with these ladies, like, all the time. It's always fun to get to know them better.
Being an engineer, we like problem-solving, and I know that's what I really like about it, is, like, looking for the clues and, like, using your mind creatively to problem-solve.
So we have some notes on, like, wavelengths and different physics topics, so I guess we're just reviewing them in case we need the info once we're in the escape room.
You guys think you're all ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. So as you're about to hear, we are all agents on the same team.
Agents, good to see you. There's not much time, so here's the background. Dr. Alberta Schrodenberg is a professor of physics at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She's a true genius. She disappeared 22 days ago. Your first task will be to find the BNC cable to connect up our newly engineered transponder.
Good luck, agents.
Thank you.
Start looking around the rest of the room if you guys want to work on that.
Oh, wait, guys, I found something. Oh, is there anything with, like, lasers or lights? Because this is an index of refraction versus selective materials.
I feel like there's still gotta be stuff in that cabinet that we need.
What happens if we get logged
down?
That means you can't open it.
Permanently?
Dev, put on this lab coat.
Why me?
I don't know.
Aha!
It's for the
camera instructions. Press on off button to turn on and off the camera.
Oh no, there's stored images in the camera.
Whoa, that's so cool.
What codes do you have for W?
Yeah, maybe you mixed them up.
Why not Z?
I don't know what the results would be.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh.
This is great.
I thought it was crazy how, like, into it we all got. Like, I thought it was just going to be, like, a fun little activity for, you know, 60 minutes. But we were so into it. Like, we were so motivated.
That was a group of University of Illinois students exploring the new escape room in Urbana. It's called Lab Escape. Thanks to Christine Herman for producing that for us. I'm joined in studio by one of the voices you heard. It's the professor who's the brains behind it. Paul Quiot is a physics professor at the University of Illinois and in studio with me. Paul, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So what's the premise of this? We heard a little bit about that at the beginning, but what's the premise of how this is supposed to work when you get locked into a room?
Yeah, so there's a story line that there's this missing professor, Schrodenberg, who has this lab, and there's some secret research on quantum computing going on, which could have relevance if the information fell into the wrong hands. And so the agents are trying to find out what happened to her and what happened to the other agents that went into the room and never came out again.
So what kind of prior scientific knowledge do you need to have in order to successfully solve this and get out of the room?
You don't need to have any prior knowledge at all. We do provide some information at the outset if people want to look at that, and that's usually pretty helpful. But you certainly don't need to go in with anything. You're not solving any equations. I guess I would say we need the players do well if they have the three C's, if they have curiosity, so they're willing to explore the space and play around with things, and communication, so they can communicate their results to each other, and also collaboration, where they work together to solve problems. And one of the things we really like about that is that's exactly the same characteristics that you need to be a good scientist or a good engineer or anything like that.
And so how many people normally are on a team, and how much time do you have to solve it?
So the optimal size is 4 to 6 people. More than 6 and it gets too crowded, and also then people don't see enough of the puzzles because they're too independent, I guess I would say. And less than 4 becomes a little too challenging in that sense. And the time, we have two sort of level settings, as it were. There's a novice setting, which is 60 minutes, and then a challenge setting, which is 70 minutes. The group of girls you just heard there, they went through the challenge and they rocked it. It was really fun watching them.
So there's, I know there's this episode of The Big Bang Theory where Leonard and Sheldon and the whole gang go into escape room and they're disappointed because they solve all of it in a few minutes and they want a discount. Is there a prize or what happens if you figure it out in less than 60 minutes?
Well, if you figure it out in less than 60 minutes, that means that you've succeeded. So if you're more than 60 minutes, in some sense, you might have succeeded in some of the goals but not actually escaped.
Right.
We do keep a tally of what the shortest times are, and so the best time on our challenge round at the moment is about 50 minutes.
And those, 5-0.
5-0. And they were super, so they had 20 minutes to go, basically. And they were super commandos at doing escape rooms. So actually, there are friends over at the Champaign-Urbana Adventures in Time and Space escape room.
And what if you don't figure it out? You imagine you're not stuck in there forever.
Oh, no, you're certainly not stuck in there forever. So, you know, our purpose is to expose people to some of the different puzzles because some of them are really amazingly breathtaking to see and really cool. And so if people are kind of on the wrong track, we will try to send some hints in every now and then, even if they're not asking.
How do you do that?
Right. So there's the previous agents have been able to establish a texting terminal in the space. You heard a little bit of a deep, grovelly machine voice speaking there. And so there might be a statement that said something like, oh, I don't know, agents, can you tell us what's written on the main lab table?
Oh, so is someone monitoring their – okay.
Assuming that the people are able to hook up – it also mentioned hook up this BNC cable that gives us video access to the room so we can watch everything that's happening.
Okay. So you guys can kind of keep an eye on everything that's happening.
Absolutely.
How did you pick the puzzles?
So I'm a physics professor here, and I teach some introductory physics class, and I really love demos. And so I try to use as many demos in my classes as I can. And so I had some stock of some of those already in my head. And last spring started with a bunch of undergraduates making a whole bunch of puzzles, and some of them worked out well and others didn't work out as well. All the physical effects are fine, but you need puzzles that are robust enough that they will just keep working and for everyone, and so that can be a challenge to get things to go that way.
So when we say puzzles, what kind of puzzles? Can you give me an example of what kind of puzzle you'd have to try to solve?
Sure. So there's a puzzle that people didn't actually go through, but we certainly could have in, where there's a clipboard that seems like it's broken and it's got a bunch of tape on it, and there's a hidden message in the tape. The tape actually changes the polarization of light that goes through, and you can detect that if you have a source of polarized light. For example, like any computer monitor would work for that, although most people don't know that. And then if you have a source to analyze that, like 3D glasses or polarizing sunglasses or something like that. And if you look at this element without those, you just see plastic with no message. But when you see it with it, then amazingly this message just pops out at you.
So, Paul, what's the goal? Is it for you? Is it fun? Is it exposing people to science? Is this a money-making venture? Is it all three?
No, it's certainly not a money-making venture. We're a non-profit organization, and in fact, if people want to help us with that on our website, you can go and you can help them with donations, which will help us bring other people who may not want to, you know, be able to pay the $20 or $15 an hour or something like that. I would say there are three goals. The most important one, well, underlying, is that everyone needs to have a good time, otherwise people won't come back, and I think you could hear from the audio there that people do seem to have a pretty good time. Related to science, we basically want to show people that science can be fun, and people don't always associate science and fun in the same sentence, and that it can be relevant to them and also accessible so they can understand things without being able to solve equations. So you can understand how 3D glasses work, for example, and also that it can be beautiful. And some of our puzzles and some of our artwork, I think, is really pretty breathtaking and stunning visually. And so we have those three goals, and I think we've managed to hit all of them.
So who can go to the escape room?
So it's designed for almost anyone. It's probably better ages 12 and above or 7th grade and above, but it's certainly not just for university students. And we'd really like to reach out to people who normally wouldn't consider themselves to do such a thing and maybe have an interest in science, underrepresented people. And so if there are groups like junior high teachers who want to bring the science class there, in groups, then we'd love for them to contact us and we can arrange something.
So they can reach out to Paul Quiat, a physics professor at the University of Illinois, one of the folks behind the new escape room that just opened in Urbana. It's called Lab Escape. Thanks, Paul. And you're actually doing free 10-minute escapes this Friday at the Lab Escape Room from 4 to 7 for anyone who wants to check it out. We'll have all of the information up at our website at 21stshow.org. Paul, thanks for being with me.
Thanks so much, Nyla.
That does it for us today. We're out of time. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to be following up on Caterpillar's surprise announcement yesterday for Peoria, saying they're going to be moving their headquarters from Peoria to Chicago. We've got some officials from Peoria that are going to be joining us, as well as folks from Decatur. If you recall, ADM and Tate and Lyle moved some of their headquarter folks to Chicago a few years ago. That does it for us. As always, all of that information, as I said a minute ago, is at our website. If you want more information about the show, head to 21stshow.org. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.